Well, good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. We're turning for the last time to Exodus chapter 20. The last time in this study, although I trust that there will be many other times in your life when you will consult Exodus chapter 20 and the Ten Commandments that are written there. A couple of days ago, I read the following verses. It's Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments, which the Lord your God hath commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. God intends us to keep his commandments, to see to it that those that follow after us keep his commandments, and as a result, his blessing will come upon us. Today, in Exodus chapter 20, we're at the verse 17. This is the 10th commandment. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. As I said, this is our last time of turning to this chapter and studying the 10 commandments. I might just tell you that from tomorrow, we start a new series of studies, short little series, just to carry us to the end of June. And I have entitled that series, 5 Central Points of the Gospel. If I was to try to sum up what God has to say, then I think the 5 points that I'm going to be looking at with you would just about do that. That'll be from tomorrow in the will of the Lord. But today we're at this 10th commandment. Thou shalt not covet. We better start off by asking, what does it mean to covet? Now, you could see someone with a nice pencil. And you may say, oh, that's a nice pencil. I must ask mommy to get me one. That's not coveting. But if you saw a nice pencil belonging to someone else and you said in your heart, I'm going to get that pencil. I'm going to try and take that pencil and make it mine. That's coveting. You want to have it unlawfully, sinfully. There's nothing wrong in seeing someone with something that you admire, think is good, and say, I'm going to get one like that. That's not coveting. That's not coveting. Coveting is seeking to have that which belongs to someone else and to have it sinfully, improperly. So then, let's start off by saying here is what is required for us to be content with what we have. Covetousness is the very opposite to contentment. If we are content, we are saying, I have enough. I don't need anything. Covetousness is not being content, but covetousness is a state in which we see what others have and say, I want that. I want that. And there is within our hearts a sinful desire to have what others have. We're not content with what we have. Hebrews chapter 13 and the verse 5 says this. Let your conversation, you will find in the Bible the word conversation does not refer to our talk with one another. Our exchanging of words one with another. That's what conversation means today. But long ago, it meant more than that. It means the whole way you live your life. Everything you do, as well as say. So, we might read this verse here in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your way of life, let all that you do, be without covetousness. So you obviously can have covetousness in your heart when you're wanting something that you shouldn't. But as well as that, you can then put covetousness to work and reach out to take what you shouldn't take. So you're not to have covetousness at all in any form. Rather, be content with such things as ye have. Whatever you have, let that be enough. Let that be enough. Be content. Some have more than others. That's the way it is in life. Some have bigger houses, bigger cars, more money in the bank, better health. They can run faster. All sorts of things. They have more than us. But what we have, we should be content with. Paul then gives us the reason for our contentment. For he has said, that is, God has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That statement gives us the basis of our contentment. Gives us the reason why we should never be covetous. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. When we see someone with something greater, more beautiful than what we have, when we look at it, we should say, ah, but I have the Lord. They might have a bigger house, bigger car, more money, but I have the Lord. I have the Lord. And that should make us utterly content. See, a big house can't make you content. Plenty of people in big houses, they're in misery, unhappy, because they haven't the Lord. Whereas there's plenty of people living in mud huts, living in the poorest of circumstances, but they're content and happy because they have the Lord. They have the Lord. So then, as I say, we are to be content. That's what this last commandment sets before us. If we believe that what we have has been given us of God, planned by God, ordained by God, then we should be content with that. We should be content with that. If God has given me what I have, then he has given me all that I need. He hasn't, to use a phrase that's common, he hasn't shortchanged us. When he gave us our portion in life, he didn't deliberately leave out of it something that we needed. Whatever we have is given of God and is exactly what we need. And that being the case, we shouldn't be looking around us and saying, I wish I had that, I would like that, I want that. We should say, I'll be content because I have the Lord. Oh, I trust that every one of you today has the Lord. I trust you can say that the Lord is with us. He's in my life. He's in my heart. When I got up this morning, he was there. And he will be with me all this day long and indeed all the days of my life. And where we are looking at the Lord and loving the Lord and being content with the Lord, then we are content with what he has provided for us in life. That's what true Christian love is all about. Paul wrote these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, a very famous chapter. The verses 4 to 6 reads, charity, that's the old word for love, it means love. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. There's no room for envying what other people have in the heart of the person who has God's love within. Charity vaunteth not itself, isn't proud of itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Where there is a love for God within our hearts, we're content. We're happy. We're happy with our lot. Then the second thing I want you to notice as we consider this 10th commandment, this sin of covetousness, which we are not to in any way have, is very widespread. You see it says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thy neighbor's wife, thy neighbor's manservant, thy neighbor's maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. So covetousness is very widespread. It can look on any object, any person, anything, and wish to have that for itself improperly. It's very widespread. And out there in the world, boys and girls, it's at work all the time. It's at work all the time. And we ought to bear this in mind. It's a very common sin. Indeed, it's found to be the basis of many other acts of wickedness. Because a man covets a thing, he may steal that thing which he covets. He sees something he wants, he can't afford to buy it, so what does he do? He looks around and he takes it. He steals it. So covetousness has gone on to produce another sin, stealing. It can even lead to murder. To murder. Somebody wants something, they can't afford to buy it, they don't know how they'll get it. Other than by killing someone. That happens. Every day we read in the news of someone who has been murdered in order that a person may lay hold upon that which they want. I have read of people who have been killed because of the phone they were using, snatched from them, and because they resisted, they were hit, knocked down. Hit their head on the ground so hard, they were killed. All because someone coveted the phone they were using. I tell you, boys and girls, covetousness is very widespread and it moves many to doing that which is wicked and evil to a much greater degree. So it grows this sin of covetousness and it produces an evil fruit. An evil fruit. Then something else. It's a sin which has been the cause of a great defying of God. Many have said, I want that. I want that. And I don't care if God says I shouldn't want it, shouldn't covet it. I don't care what God says. I'm going to have it. So God is defied as a result of covetousness. Oh, that's what sin is, boys and girls. Sin is any want of conformity unto the law of God. Sin is any degree of defying what God says we should do. Many times we read, and I'm reading, as I'm sure many are, at the present time in my Bible, through the Old Testament books, at the beginning of the Bible, the books of Moses. And it gives us there the account of God delivering his people out of Egypt and leading them toward the promised land. And oh, it seems as if every other verse in that record is a verse which tells us of Israel's discontentment. The word murmur or murmuring or complaining is found so often, for that's how it seems Israel was, always complaining. We haven't enough. We don't like what we have. We want something other than what we have. Murmur, murmur, murmur. Discontentment. Coveting. God is thus defied. God was defied many, many times. I am amazed as I read. I've read it many times before, but I'm still amazed as I read how Israel reacted so often to what God did for them. And when I look at what is written, and when I think of how dreadful this is that Israel should do this, I remember that I'm the same. There's the same spirit in me as was in Israel. And what I see in Israel that causes me to be amazed that they should so act toward God, I must ever remember that's exactly what I do. In my life, I have to beware of covetousness and the defiance of God that it breeds. 1 Corinthians again, this time the chapter 10, the verses 9 to 11. Neither let us tempt Christ. You see, that's what defying God leads to. You're tempting God. You're flying in the face of God. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also. Them refers to the Israelites during their journey to the promised land. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Oh yes, we can do just what the Israelites did. We do what the Israelites did, and we must beware of that. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. These things are recorded for us to learn from. What we saw Israel do, that's an example of what we should not do. And it's recorded, not particularly to shame them, but to teach us what it is we ought not to do. A heavy price was paid by those who coveted in those days of wilderness wandering. They were grumbling and complaining about what it is God had given them, and demanding that he give them something else, and what they thought was something better. And all that led to many a judgment falling upon them. And we are to learn from that. Then finally, I want you to notice that so serious is this sin that we have to put it to death. We have to slay it. Colossians 3:5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Colossians 3:5. The word mortify, I'm sure you probably know what it means. You have heard of a mortuary, haven't you? It's the place where they take dead bodies. The mortuary, that's a part of the hospital. In fact, if you go up to the Enniskillen Hospital and you come to the roundabout, the first roundabout within the ground, you'll see a big sign over on the right-hand side, mortuary. And that's where the dead bodies are taken for examination, for preparation, and etc., etc. And mortify means put to death. So we are commanded here by God, we are to put to death those things active within our hearts and lives. And then the things are mentioned that have to be executed. And the last thing that's mentioned is covetousness, which is idolatry. Well, that's a side to covetousness that we ever must bear in mind. When you want something that you shouldn't have and are ready to do anything to get it, you've made a god of it. You're worshipping it. You'll do anything for it. That's why Paul writes here under divine inspiration that covetousness is idolatry, and we're not allowed to have it in our lives. We're not to permit it a place in our hearts. We're to put it to death. I was just reading this morning how that God instructed Israel that when you go into the promised land, you're to take all the idols and destroy them. And you're also to destroy all the idolaters. Boys and girls, we cannot allow covetousness to live in our hearts. We must put it to death. Because if we don't, it'll lead on to other sins, greater sins. and bring the judgment of God upon us. Oh, I sincerely hope and pray that our studies in the Ten Commandments have been a help, and that you'll never forget, and you'll turn often to Exodus chapter 20 and read them again for yourselves. You're in school for how many years? This is 11 years. There's so much for you to learn. It takes 11 years, at least, for you to be taught. Whether or not you learn it is another thing. But it takes 11 years. So much is there for you to take in. God teaches you everything in 10 commandments, which takes you less than 2 or 3 minutes to read. Isn't God a great teacher? Oh, don't forget the 10 commandments. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, be pleased to bless your word to the boys and girls. May their hearts be thrilled with it. May they love it. May they live by it. Bless the school today. We do thank thee for your kindness, Lord, to us, and pray that we may know this day that thou wilt never leave us nor forsake us. Answer prayer for all here, any at home, parents, family members who need your touch. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen.